looking at what you're doing, I guess there are two things. One is the acknowledgement of the importance of what you've been doing with the Moon Man book to expose the fabrications going on in the authority figures that everybody's supposed to believe. That leads to a lot of new understanding of what's going on now. The other thing is, what, if anything, have you got in mind for a follow-up project at this point? What do you want to do?
Well, the song, which is link 15 at the end of the book links at Sobral.com, is kind of a summary of my adventures investigating this. And what the course says is kind of my life, my career as a filmmaker was derailed for 2 decades by investigating this, making these movies and writing this book. The book is really my final statement on the matter so that I can pretty much put it behind me. I've done my best. Here's the facts. Now you decide. I really want to be a feature filmmaker. I've written a feature film that was going to star Ed Asner until he died, coincidentally, 90 days after getting a medical procedure for an illness he didn't have. So I'm looking for someone to take his place, who is an elderly actor, to star in my first feature film. It has about a $1 million budget. If anyone wants to invest, let me know.
Okay.
And it's kind of, I would call it a fantasy, a spiritual fantasy, having to do with really the last days and the main character, who's like a military hitman, softening his heart, going from a hard-hearted man to a soft-hearted man over the course of the film, trying to basically make up for all the mistakes he's made in his life, asking for forgiveness. And all the while, end of time events are simultaneously happening.
Yeah.
So that's my next project I hope to make. I also have a game coming out. If you go to Sobral.com and scroll to the bottom, I just did a game called Seven. It's a 7x7 board with 7 pieces each that moves 7 spaces every turn. It just got released on Apple and Google phones this week. We've been working on it for 7 years. The software company is actually in Ukraine. We were 99% done. Then the war started and they had to go west and delayed the project about a month, but we're back up and running. It'll also be soon available on Mac and Windows desktop and Steam. And it's a little bit more complicated than checkers, but a lot less complicated than chess. It's a board game that kind of uses the number 7, a 7x7 board instead of 8x8, which has a center square that's called the throne of God. And then 4 corners around the center are the gates of heaven. You try to get 4 of your pieces simultaneously on those before your opponent does, and you win the game. And we have 3 boards, and you can play the computer. You can play anybody anywhere in the world. And it's cross-platform. I thought that was normal, you know, that an Apple phone could play on an iPhone. But apparently that's not the case, but it is in ours. Ours, you can play on any format, cross-format. So hopefully that will help finance it, you know, the feature film if I get no investor.
Is it available now, or did you say
it's available now on mobile devices? So you just go to the Apple Store or the Google Store, type in Game of Seven. The logo is the number 7 with a halo and wings, because there might be another game or two named 7, but ours is called the Game of 7. It's a board game. And the average length of the game is around 15 minutes, and you can play the AI or another person. There's tutorials, both interactive with graphics and a video tutorial that I've made that kind of shows people how to play the game. And it's actually a very fun game. I basically realized that most games are in 3 categories. There's these gobble-up games like Candy Crush. It's kind of like Pac-Man, you know, an arcade game. It's overly simplified, really. Then there's these, you know, 6-hour long fantasy games or shoot 'em up war games. So there's really no new strategy game that challenges the intellect a little bit. And so this is what everyone knows. 7 is special. There's 7 colors in the rainbow, 7 notes on the musical scale, you know, 7 days of the week. And so we basically have a board that's 7x7 with 7 pieces each that must move 7 spaces every turn. The game is called 7. So that's coming out, and hopefully that will help finance my feature film if I have to do that myself. And then I'll go back to making inspirational films, which is what I'd rather do than producing a documentary again.
Right. The star in your movie who is changing his life, is he in the process of dying, or does he have some time to...
He does. He, believe it or not, he has heart cancer. Wow. And he has 7 weeks to live. And Ed Asner was so excited. Ed Asner was a fan of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. Mm. So I'm eating a hamburger one day. I get a call from Ed Asner, former president of the Screen Actors Guild, and a brilliant actor, brilliant. And he says, Bart, I want to be in your movie. I'm like, okay, you know. And I thought, well, let me finish the book first. Let me finish the game first. I figured the guy's rock solid 91-year-old. He'll be around a year from now. Boy, that was a bad call. And so now I need a replacement. I've asked Dick Van Dyke to do it. I haven't heard back from him. I've asked Mel Gibson through Jim Caviezel if he wanted to play the part. And Jim Caviezel, his son, he says he's interested if he can work it into his schedule, but no guarantees. We need some senior citizen actor. A little bit known would be good to add some credibility to the project. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a beautiful story, a fantasy, you know, transformation of the main character, all these symbolic things. Comedy is in it. Angels are in it. And serendipity is in it. It's really a secular film. I don't know if you remember the film Seven starring Demi Moore. It's less biblical than that movie. And that movie was very popular in the secular circles.
Right.
No, it is an inspirational film, but it's mainly secular story. That's, you could say, sci-fi-ish in a spiritual way. You know,
there's is the screenplay written already?
Completely done.
Wow. Okay.
And partially cast as well. We just now need a new leading actor to take Ed Asner's place. So
what are you going to do to find the best person for that?
Well, my friend Eric over here is going to a Hollywood party wedding. I don't want to give him the script. That's too forceful, but I'm going to give him a stack of business cards.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask him to ask these Hollywood celebrities, we need your help. And Asner died on us. Can you help us find an elderly actor? Maybe they'll put us in touch with somebody.
Yeah.
I tried to ask Michael Douglas's agent, and I haven't heard back from him. Maybe they looked up me on the internet. They don't want to be associated with the guy who says the moon landings are fake.
Is Michael Douglas healthy enough to do it?
Oh, I think so. He has an amazing on-screen personality. I hope he says yes. And then I was thinking of one other actor. I'm trying to remember, but... You know, I'm wide open, but we need a leading actor, someone of some experience and notoriety,
right,
and to take Ed Asner's place, and we'll see. Ed Asner loved the script. He loved the story. I've gotten only good feedback on it from people, you know, who have read the whole thing. And I think it's a divinely inspired story. I actually had the idea like 25, 30 years ago. And when Ed Asner calls me up and says, I want to be in it, I like finally wrote it down in like 2 weeks, you know.
Hopefully the way that the screenplay is written, you're inspiring people to take on a similar attitude themselves. So that whatever they've been doing.
Exactly. You know, I have so few DVDs, if you could see, as a filmmaker. I really
can't
don't
see
watch
off the screen.
I know, but basically out of arms linked over here.
Yeah.
And I noticed there's a common thread through them. Groundhog Day, Jerk to Nice Guy. Michael Douglas was in this beautiful film called The Game, Jerk to Nice Guy. And then a Terry Gilliam film, The Fisher King, Jerk to Nice Guy. The transformation of a person going from hard-hearted to a loving person over the course of the film.
Right.
That's the common thread of all my personal copies of my film. And that's exactly what is in this movie.
That could apply to absolutely everybody.
Exactly. Everybody who enters eternal life has that transformation. That's why Jesus says you have to be born again.
Well, I mean, it even makes the rest of your life here different.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you start seeing things in a positive light almost all the time.
That's right.
Because you realize there is a God. And while God has let the wicked have their way, it is for a finite period of time as a cosmic lesson. And then the Bible promises that sin, when God remakes the earth like Eden, sin will not rise a second time. This is one time for universal history as a lesson. And once this happens, sin will never happen again. And yet we'll still have free will. How about that?
Yeah, I agree. And don't you think it would be amazing if some of the high level people devoted to evil right now became like your character?
You know, Richard, you've said like three things during this interview that are my thoughts exactly word for word. I've been praying with all my heart for some leading world leader to be converted, to come forward, renounce sin, an astronaut. Wouldn't it be beautiful if Buzz Aldrin got on national TV, teared up and said, I'm sorry, we didn't go. And if it weren't for other astronauts alive claiming they walked on the moon, he probably already would have done that if he was the only one.
Right.
Or George Soros being converted, or Bill Gates, or who knows. And I'm not saying
it's going to have to be on an alternative channel of national TV, because the regular ones would not allow it. You know,
there's a way of making it happen.
I'm really interested in that part, because I think that's a key question.
Here's a little side conspiracy most people don't know about, but I worked at NBC News and ABC News for a while in local affiliates. In 2012, the government insisted that everyone swap to HDTV. Insisted, you will be off the air unless radio and TV is HD. Okay. Well, I guess they're just trying to help people, right? Not really. Let me tell you the secret about all of that. The codec of HD has an exact 10-second delay in it. Now, when Richard Pryor was on Saturday Night Live, I think in 1977, they put a 5-second delay in case he used the F word, because he used it in stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. The guy's a professional. He's not going to curse on live TV, but they were so paranoid. You know, they put a 5-second delay. So the CIA DARPA has put twice the amount of time into every radio and TV signal. Now, if you have an atomic clock, you'll notice that NPR and national news starts exactly at 10 seconds past the minute that they start on. Because that means if anyone says something on live TV in the future, they can delete it before anyone hears it.
It's not profanity that they're worried about. It's truth.
Exactly. I mean, theoretically, an astronaut could start confessing and they cut it off before people hear it.
Yeah, 10 seconds should be enough.
Yeah. But so they have to keep up with a lot, and they'll probably make a mistake.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm banking on.
So if they make a mistake at the right time, it could be really important.
Or maybe somebody will oops and forget to hit the stop button.
Yeah, right? What if one of the technicians makes a mistake on purpose?
There you go. That's what Bill Casing said. He swore that this footage of them faking being halfway to the moon over and over for an hour with the CIA clearly heard. Uh-huh. That they sent that to me deliberately.
Yeah, so yeah.
Somebody there sent it to me. That was a life-changing experience when I finally realized he was right. I was like, oh my goodness, this is the world I live in. They really did fake the moon landing.
Yeah.
How pathetic is that?
We could have a lot of allies that we don't know about yet.
Yep. And that's the sad thing. The longer I live, Richard, the more I realize the world is even more wicked than I previously thought.
Right. And you have to be open to that so that you see what has to be solved.
Yep. I'm looking for the truth. And like I said, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I heard about chemtrails. Give me a break.
Right.
And then I find out it's so obviously true.
Yeah.
You know, I'm coming over the horizon about a year or two ago on some road I always go down, and I see something very strange. You know what I saw? A big, puffy cotton ball cloud. And then it dawned on me, I haven't seen those in years.
Yeah, those are called real clouds.
I haven't seen them in years.
Yeah.
So what is that all about?
Well, the weather service is coordinating more and more with the spraying agenda, because when it's a clear day and they're going to spray a lot, they forecast partly cloudy.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, if you buy a meteorological book from 1985 or before, it says like there's five cloud patterns. There's only been five for the last 500 years of meteorological study. Then the
weather department
says we just discovered five more types of clouds.
Right.
When there's only been five types for the last 500 years.
Yeah.
Suddenly five more cloud types appear out of nowhere.
It's a miracle.
I mean, unbelievable. They must be really unobservant.
Yeah. Well, I want everybody to be able to follow what you do next. And your movie sounds super exciting. Hope you find the perfect actor for that right away.
Oh, thank you very much.
So it's been a pleasure to get to meet you. Thanks a lot. And we'll stay in communication if that's okay with you.
Sure.